So, Dogs in Distress is a Dublin-based, not-for-profit dog rescue charity. Joining me on the phone now is founder Marie Hannan to talk about the work they do. Hi, Marie. Thanks a lot for talking to me today.
No problem.
So, can you maybe start us off by telling us a bit about the work Dogs in Distress does?
Basically, Dogs in Distress are there to help dogs who go into the pound and weren't getting an opportunity either to be seen on a website or reclaimed by their owners or rehomed.
Yeah.
Once they went into pounds, they tended to do their 5 days and they were put to sleep. Destruction rates in pounds in Ireland has been, over the years, extremely high.
Well, how did it come into its initial forming? How did you put it together?
I originally knew about a pound and everybody just kept asking me, was I ever in it? And I kept saying no, because I knew from the minute I put my foot inside the door that would be the end of me.
Yeah.
And then when I did go and actually saw the dogs in cages, incarcerated, with no possibility of being rehomed. Now, these are healthy, friendly little dogs who just, due to irresponsible ownership, ended up in the pound.
Yeah.
And I just thought they had no voice and they had no chance of getting out.
Yeah, exactly. So where do most of your dogs come from? Do they come from the pounds?
Yes.
Or?
They would come from pounds, and also now in the last 2 years, we have a huge trend where people are giving up their dogs and don't want them to go to the pound as such. I think it probably feels less guilty about handing it over to us. So we then take them as a surrender and they sign the dog over to us.
Yeah. So you hear about this whole, dog is for life, not for Christmas. I suppose sort of coming up to Christmas, it's going to be a busy time for yourselves.
It will be. Usually it's not. I don't find it's after Christmas is the problem.
Right.
We tended to have it before Christmas, that as in people who've got pups now in September, October.
Yeah.
When the decorations and the tree comes out, needless to say, the pup is going to be pulling them and chewing them and they're just gone rid of before their relations come, or we're having visitors over Christmas. We don't want the dog in the house, or we don't want the dog there. So a lot of dogs get rid of before Christmas.
Yeah, that's terrible. So do you take any dog, all dogs? Or?
Yes. We're not selective in that. We don't choose a breed and we don't choose an age either.
Yeah.
We'll take the dog as long as we can do something to help it or upgrade it in life. I won't take a dog that has already bitten or has attacked somebody.
Mm.
Because unfortunately there's no room for them at the moment, and the pressure is on with dogs, and it would be sad to be wasting resources that don't have when there's five other dogs wagging their tail waiting to get out.
Yeah, true. I mean, so I suppose there's a lot of older dogs as well out there that people don't want them anymore.
Yeah, and they've been dumped as well, which is very sad.
Oh, that's terrible.
Because of them having an underlying health issue. Now, unfortunately, we don't know about that till we take them out and, start to see how they're progressing in foster care.
Yeah. So all your staff are volunteers.
They are.
So how many do you currently have working for you?
Well, at the moment, in terms of administration, there's only about four people that would head up the main area for fostering, rehoming.
Okay.
Kathy does all the fostering and checks in on the rehoming, and Claire does the rehoming as well. And then we would have, obviously, the base then of fosterers.
Mm-hmm.
And that at any one time would be about 40.
Yeah. So do you liaise with places like the DSPCA? Are you all linked? You're not linked in at all?
No.
Okay. Is there a strict criteria for fosterers or, people that want to take a dog from yourself? Do you have strict criteria for people?
Absolutely. I mean, we're taking these dogs from basically a bad situation or an unwanted situation.
Yeah.
And when I started doing this, the one thing I promised these dogs was, whatever I did, once I took a dog, I would promise it an upgrade in life.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm not going to do that for that dog, I'm as well off not getting involved in that dog's life.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Because I'm not doing anything to further things. So, yes, in terms of all our dogs are in foster homes, which is good. It means that you do know what you're getting when you're adopting from us, because they're already living with a family, with other dogs. We'll know the requirements, whether children is okay or what age children or cats. They start getting work, like being worked on the lead, recall, house training, all that's done while they're in foster care. They're put on very good food, they're wormed properly, they get bathed, they get groomed, and they start being a dog as well. So if they're shy or nervous, the other side of them comes out, and all of that helps the dog hugely. So when the people come to visit, we only let people visit the dogs in the foster home once they've had a home visit themselves, and everything has been checked out.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Now, what we need for a home visit is, some people get a bit upset and worried and think we're going to see how clean their house is.
Yeah,
no, that's not, no problem whether the dusting isn't done or the ironing or whatever, that's not an issue. Our only issue is that it's a secure and safe garden.
Yeah.
And that it's the right environment for a dog, that everybody is comfortable about getting a dog. And maybe if they've chosen a dog, we'd go through that dog's requirements.
Mm.
And sometimes it works out that, no, that's not the dog for them then at all. But that's why the chat is important. And other times then we can suggest other dogs that would be far more suitable. If they're a very active family,
yeah.
we could have collie crosses that would just love nothing but jogging all day. You know?
Yeah.
So that's an ideal home for them. So we go through that. Once that's approved and sorted and agreed, they then go and meet in the foster home. And they can take the dog for a walk and then they go off, and we absolutely insist that everybody has to go away and think about it for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Because there's too many decisions made on the heel of things and
yeah,
then
true.
Afterwards, no, we should have thought about it. So we tell everyone to go home, sit down tonight, have your dinner, have a chat about it, make sure it's the right dog for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also gives us a chance to make sure they're the right person for the dog.
Yeah, oh, it's a big responsibility at
yeah,
the end of the
because
day.
Sometimes we've had situations where like people have liked the dog, but the dog just didn't gel with them.
Yeah.
And that happens, you know.
Yeah.
So it's better off to sort that out immediately from day one and not be putting the dog in a home where in the end everyone's going to be unhappy.
Exactly.
I mean, this way we would have a much higher success rate.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know there's like some dogs are not sorted, not suited to children.
Yeah.
And you know they might be more suited to an older couple
yeah.
or something like that.
Some of them might be little couch potatoes and be yeah. sitting watching, you know, the soaps all day.
Yeah.
Other ones like are bouncing and bobbing all over the place, and if they're not exercised and walked and have an active lifestyle, you know, yes, they'll dig the garden. Yes, they'll pull the clothes off the line. Yes, they'll rip up a few beds.
Yeah.
But as they say, these are working breeds and people need to be realistic about the type of dog they're getting.
Yeah.
If you don't give those type of dogs a job, they will find a job themselves and it may not be the one you want.
No, exactly. Come yeah. home and find the house
yeah,
in
exactly.
their bits.
But that's what they were bred for.
Yeah.
So either you keep them mentally stimulated or do the dog a favour and don't get one.
Yeah.
What worries me at the moment is the amount of Siberian Huskies in Ireland.
Yeah, I know. They seem to be everywhere.
Wrong homes. Siberian Huskies were never designed to live in the back garden of a three-bedroom semi.
No, no.
They're supposed to get 3 hours exercise a day. I'd love to know who's going to do that.
Well, exactly. They seem to be the new sort of fashionable dog to
very,
have.
Very, very sad. I just wish no. those dogs were never allowed into this country. I saw them working in Finland and
yeah.
they were just amazing at minus 25.
Yeah.
They were amazing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's sad to see them. They're, number one, they're not in a pack.
No.
They're isolated. They're in the back garden. They're used to dry cold. Not used to what we have, which is wet cold.
Yeah.
These dogs are howling outside and left, and they're not being fed properly because, again, of the type of dog they are,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But nobody's doing enough research into these dogs.
Exactly.
And then the crossbreeds, these new designer crossbreeds, are everywhere.
Mm.
And people, even though we're in recession, are paying 500 and 600 euros for these dogs
yeah.
that they're calling a pedigree. And they have no concept that, no, they're not a pedigree.
Yeah.
Their mother might have been and their father, but that doesn't mean that they are because they're two separate breeds.
Yeah.
No. You aren't getting that.
No, it's crazy, isn't it? You know, as I said, it's just become this fashionable dog to have. And if you can't look after it at the end of the day...
Well, the Cavachons are everywhere now.
Yeah.
Everywhere. But, I mean, what are you looking for that? I mean, what are you looking after a Cavalier? Are you looking after a Poodle? Or who do you feed for? Or what kind of coat are you looking after? Or do
exactly.
people know what they're going to be minding?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think people sort of think things through
no,
in a lot of respects. They don't really. They think, oh, I'd love a dog and I'd love this kind of dog. So, oh, my friend's got one. Or,
yeah.
you know, and they don't think about the long term.
No, they don't. And they don't look into the requirements
it.
Of the dog. And they don't do enough research into what kind of food does this dog need?
Mm.
I mean, I see them walk around the pet shops with the dog under their arm. They've just paid 500-600
yeah.
euros in a car park for it. They'll buy the cutest little bling bling collar,
yeah,
and very fancy a little toy, and
little
we'll buy
coats
the cheapest food available.
Mm. So I know you were saying you get a lot of dogs sort of in the run, well, sort of September, October
yeah.
time. How many dogs would you sort of have coming through the Dogs in Distress in say a month? Would it be a lot, or does it vary?
Well, at any one time, we would on average have between about 42 to 53.
Wow.
And they would be all now at various stages. I mean, a lot of them, when they're coming out of the pounds, unfortunately,
yeah.
are sick.
Yeah.
They either come out with diarrhoea, upset tummies,
yeah.
or they have to go on a drip, or they've got kennel cough. So that delays us doing anything with the dog in that we can't progress that dog for homing. The only thing we can do is worm them, but we can't, say, vaccinate, neuter,
yeah,
spay.
Yeah.
None of that can happen, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So if people want to get involved, or say they want to give money, or they even want to become a volunteer, how would they go about doing that?
Well, the website www.dogsindistress.org is very informative. It's updated literally every, I would say, nearly hour.
Yeah.
Not by me, because I'm not technical enough. But,
there's a lot of lovely photos, a lot of lovely dogs on there.
The homing, the happy endings is where I spend my time when I need cheering up, because that reiterates to me why I do what I do.
Makes it worthwhile.
Yeah,
when
I go back to the very first picture and look at them being all miserable and shaking, look at them lying in front of a fire and I think, wow, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps you going. But Kathy Davey as well has made a new CD which will be released on the 7th of December. It's called Oscar the Hypno Dog.
Yes.
And that will be for sale with the proceeds going to Dogs in Distress.
Fantastic. So how did that album come about? Was it just something Kathy decided she was going to do? Or?
Yes, Kathy had originally got involved with Dogs in Distress when she adopted a dog.
Mm.
Then her mother adopted two dogs.
Right.
And they liked the way things progressed in the organisation and the way the dogs were dealt with. At all times, I mean, the dog is our priority. You know, we're not here to be humouring people, although we don't deliberately go to upset them. But the dog, whatever that dog needs is what happens first. So if the home isn't right or the area isn't right or something's not right, that'll be taken into account. So then Kathy decided she'd like to get more involved, so she fostered a dog for us.
Mm.
And she decided then she couldn't let her go, so she adopted her.
Yeah.
And Mel, and she's now called Daisy. And then she decided, no, she would do a bit more to help us with the fundraising. Because obviously, when you're so busy trying to do the running around and the organising the dogs, it's very difficult to do fundraising. Now, having said that, you have to have fundraising or you'll have nothing. So you're caught between a rock and a hard place, though. Like, am I running out the door now and collecting these dogs and getting them to there or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Or am I fundraising? And naturally enough, the dog end always wins.
Yeah.
And then you're sitting back on calls, you know. We didn't do anything about that, and we've no money, and you know, whatever, and you need to start thinking on those lines. But it's just difficult to be so many different areas, you know.
Mm. Yeah, and I saw on your Facebook page as well, there's updates constantly about, you know, needing maybe dogs picked up and taken from one place to another, or, you know, little
a lot of
jobs
times getting them from the pound out, and especially in this weather, because it's very cold, it's very miserable.
Yeah.
The pound is not a pleasant place to be. It's damp, it's cold, it's dark. And they're terrified anyway, so we try not prolong the agony for them. So if somebody can't get there till after 5, they close at 4, we'll offer or put up, will somebody give it a lift?
Yeah.
And just get it out of there today, so at least it's en route, you know, to the foster home then.
Yeah, no, it's nice that people, you know, there are people out there that are willing to give up their time and...
Yeah, well, I mean, if somebody has a dog already and they are at home, it's not a big hardship to foster. We provide everything, and I mean everything.
Mm.
When the dog goes to the foster home, they get everything they need. They get a collar, a lead, a tag with our number on it.
Wow.
They get a bowl, they get food, they get a bed.
Yeah.
All veterinary is taken care of by us. And if by any chance, which has happened occasionally, that their own dog might have picked up kennel cough, we have then sorted their own dog as well.
Yeah.
So that they weren't left with a veterinary bill they hadn't planned on. So we do all of that. So nobody is left with any bill from fostering a dog for us. And in the end of the day, it's a great thing to do because there's a great feel-good factor. You go on the website, you see the updates from the family, and you know that without you getting involved and helping that little lad, you didn't have that window of opportunity to move on.
Yeah, that's the thing. At the end of the day, they can't look after themselves, really.
No.
So it's nice that there are people out there that are willing to you know, give up their time and help out these poor little dogs. So there's a launch event, anyway, for the... I've just seen there's a launch event for the new CD on the 6th. That's happening in the Mayfield restaurant in Terenure.
That's right.
For all dog-friendly people. And so there's going to be performances by some of the featured artists. There's going to be food and wine as well.
I know.
It's going to be a good one. And then also, I think...
Food for the dogs and wine for the people.
I was going to say, hopefully not the other way around. But and I've also heard that Kathy and some of the other artists on the album are going to be busking on Grafton Street on the 7th and the 8th. Around noon, so they'll be collecting donations on the street and also be selling copies of the album.
Yeah,
and there's also be some doggy goodie bags for Christmas as well.
Yes.
So, so thanks so much for talking to me, Marie, and I really, really hope that you get, get the shelter built, raise as much money as possible, and get a bit of awareness out there, you know,
well,
that there are these dogs.
I mean, Ireland is already known as one of the worst ones for cruelty, and it's just so, so shocking, you know. I mean, we're a small country.
Yeah.
And to earn that title is not good.
Yeah. No, there was that thing on the news the other week about the puppies in the... They found the puppies in the vans, and it's just unbelievable. You know, there were like three lots of puppies that they found that they were trying to...
But it's shocking.
Get out onto the ferry.
Hundreds of Ireland is known as, you know, breeding capital for puppies. I mean, they've just been shipped out of here en masse the whole time.
Yeah.
Come on for years and years. But again, you see, people are making money out of dogs' misery. You know, they had 50 and 60 dogs in a shed living in their own urine.
Yeah.
And they're selling these pups and people are paying for them.
Yeah, that's a sad thing.
Yeah.
That's a sad thing. Anyway, thanks again, Marie,
not
for talking to me, all right? And hopefully, you'll, as I said, you'll get that shelter built sooner.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Cheers, Marie. Thank you.
Bye.